for a short while to encourage you, really, that for your own future.
Amen.
Praise God. Acts chapter 6. And at the top of this Bible I've got, it says here, the title is Seven Chosen to Serve. Mm. Right, that's the title. Seven Chosen to Serve. And so basically what's happening, the early church, we know the story that you've read some of Acts already, and you know that Peter stood up there and began to preach the gospel just at Pentecost, and it says, and 3,000 were added to the church that day, yeah?
Yes.
So wow, there's suddenly an increase from around about 120, yeah?
Yeah.
From 120 to suddenly with 3,000. Where are we going to put them all?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with them?
Yeah.
Hmm? What we're going to do is the 120 have got to get busy.
Amen. Amen.
The 120 have got to start drawing on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the knowledge that Jesus has given them, and begin to share that with the 3,000.
Amen.
So what's that, Ellen? 120 into 3,000. How many each do they have?
250.
So they've got 250 each to look after. How about that, Mary? Okay? That we suddenly say, Mary, there's 250 people here, Mary, you're going to have to look after. Oh, and by the way, man, there's 250 people for you to look after, Manny. Right? And you've got to share Jesus with them, and you've got to teach the word of God, because we can't get them all in the church. You know what I mean? If we were to get them all in the church, and we can seat 150, so we're going to have to, how many services?
Seven.
We know you've got a difficult problem. We know your maths isn't brilliant. So.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So that's going to be 20 services, isn't it? If you can only seat 150 in the building.
Yeah.
If we pushed it to 200, you know, in the building, we're still going to have 15 services.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
You like it? Yeah. Hey, I keep telling you, this is for thinking with, and these are for dancing with.
And that's why you can't do it, because you're always relying on calculators.
Yeah. Mine's up here, kid. Calculators didn't exist when I were at school, let me tell you.
Not small.
There were big button ones. You pulled a big lever on it. About this big on a desk. I used
one.
It's true. I used one at work. I just work it anymore. Yeah. I looked at it and I listened. Where did you pull this one from? You know, I thought it'd come out of Ark. I thought no one had had this one, you know.
Was it just invented?
Hey, just be quiet. I am not that old, alright? Child. We'll carry on with the subject, shall we? So, think of the number of services and the number of people that need to be involved when the Holy Spirit begins to move and there's a rush of the Spirit, and we've been praying towards that tonight, right? Yeah. And so we're expecting something to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might not get 3,000 all at once. But what happens if suddenly 100 people came in wanting Jesus?
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. That's still 10 each. Just for this group to begin to... Well, just under 10 each for this group to look at.
That's right, yeah.
You know, because I'm going to say, well, you're going to have to look after these, and you're going to have to look after these. Mm. Yeah. So you're going to be like, whoa. And so it's big responsibility. So it's important that we together are in Bible studies and we learn the Word of God. And we learn, you see, so often the Word of God is written in a mystery. Mm. And what you see on the pages is not necessarily what God is trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. He's trying to take you deeper inside. He's trying to reveal to you the spiritual dimension of a flat page. He's trying to make it three-dimensional for you. take you into it in deeper ways. And it's only by, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, that he takes us deeper into the things of the Word of God. Daniel will tell you that being at Bible College, he's read books and books and books, and some people just spiel things off, and there is no real spirit in it. It's just knowledge. Just learning. And unless the Spirit catches hold of something and alights it and sets it on fire, there's nothing there. It's boring, and it doesn't do anything for you. So it is important that the Holy Spirit catches hold of the Word of God and ignites it in our lives, and as we read the Word of God, he ignites it to us. Otherwise, the Bible says, the letter killeth. But the Spirit
gives life.
So words just kill things. The words can be just boring, but when the Spirit of God is moving, it's like, Jesus said, receive the Spirit, receive life. And that's what the churches need today. We need the move of the Spirit. Music's great, and we enjoy it, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
You know? But if the music has no anointing, and if it's not about the Word of God, if it's not about Jesus, it's worthless. It just tickles the emotion. God wants to touch the Spirit, because the Spirit gives life to this mortal body. That's what the Bible says. So it's the Spirit of God that we need. It's the Spirit of God that causes us to be able to stand up and be different. You see, Peter, before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, if one of you three went up to him and said, oh, are you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. And he'd be off. Now, he stood in front of maybe 5,000-6,000 people or more. We know that 3,000 gave their life to Jesus. So how many more people were there when he stood up and said, I've got something to say. I think a few days ago, a little girl came along and said, hey, you.
Me? It's not me. No.
And now he's in a big crowd, and he stood there with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God on him, and sharing Jesus. And 3,000 people, their lives are changed that day. Forever. You can see it, can't you? You're beginning to see this. Do you think, and the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, at the day of Pentecost, today, in our day, and tomorrow, in the future, he's still the same. It's the same power, it's the same Jesus, it's the same anointed Word of God, when the Spirit gets hold of it, and it changes lives. That's what we're into. This is where we're at. So praise God. And so all this has happened in the book of Acts, and suddenly the leaders, the 12 disciples, suddenly find it's like, we've got too much to do. There's 3,000 people and more coming, and we're trying to organise people to have teaching classes. We're trying to organise people to have prayer meetings. We're trying to share the gospel. We're trying to sort out their doctrine. We're laying hands on the sick, and we're doing all these things. And he says, we don't have time to be doing the waiting on the tables and to be looking after this one and to be doing that. We need some more help. And so what happens, it says in this chapter, verse 6, it says, and so they came together, and in verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full membership of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit. See? Full of the Spirit. We need people, no matter what we're doing in church, whether it's somebody who greets them on the door, whether it's somebody who takes up the offering, whether it's somebody operating the computer, whether it's somebody operating the PA desk, whether it's somebody playing or praying or preaching, or even looking after the food afterwards. They all need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They need to be spiritual people, because guess what? Everybody looks at those that are doing the work.
Yeah.
Even when we're outside, cleaning gutters, people pass by and they look at us, don't they? And they watch us, and they talk to us, and they listen to us. And we need to be anointed no matter what we're doing. We need to be showing Jesus. And so here he's saying, no matter what you do, we need to pick 7 men of a good reputation and full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. And so the disciples said then that so that we can devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, because that was their function, that was their anointing, what God was calling them to do. And so, and others will take up the strain and the reins of everything that needs to be, that needs to happen. And so they then began to look for men. And Stephen was one of those that was chosen by the disciples. And verse 5 says this, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen. Yeah, you're listening, Stephen. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it says then they chose a number of others. And these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So even the religious leaders in the area suddenly started turning to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. We're even going to get vicars saved. Amen. Hallelujah. We pray in the name of Jesus. You know, we're going to get, going to see it happen. The power of the gospel, the religious leaders gave their lives to Jesus. And so, this is, you know, to me, this is really exciting. And the thing is, and the number, it says, and the number of disciples multiplied. Didn't say Christians.
Yes.
Disciples, disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus Christ began to increase. And then it goes on into, you know, Stephen's, it's a wonderful story about Stephen. And he didn't have an easy ride. But he was full of the power of God. He was full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And people were being saved and healed and delivered and set free by his ministry. And he was one that was supposed to be serving on tables. So what you don't have to think is that, well, my job's just, I'm on the door. My job's just taking an offering. My job's just on the computer. My job's just to... No, it's not. If we're anointed and ready, then God says, I'm going to bring somebody along that you're going to preach to. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. But there is a way that somehow that God will use you to share Jesus with these people. Right? Your smile. Your laughter. Your peace. Something that's in you, given to you by God, will begin to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Last week, the boys were in. And I know afterwards it's like, what did you, I got quizzed. What did you do to the boys? What did you do to the boys? All I did was, I didn't preach. I didn't get the Bible says this, you know, I didn't get my Bible out, anything like that. I told them about my journey with Jesus. I told them when it started. I began to tell them about my journey with the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm on a journey. I've been travelling this one for 40 odd years. So I've got lots of stories, got lots of exciting things that's happened in my life. I've seen things happen, you know. So I've got a gazillion stories to tell. I said, I could keep you here all night and next week and just keep going on stories and stories of what I've seen Jesus doing and the presence of God and how God moves and the things that God's doing. And he's like, so all I did was just share my journey. Because my journey is holding the hand of the Lord Jesus. And I'm saying, you know, if you get hold of the hand of the Lord Jesus, you can have a journey.
Amen.
An exciting journey.
Amen.
You can have a journey filled with the presence of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Join hands with him and what a journey. I tell you what, sometimes you'll ride the ride, you'll ride the highest roller coaster.
Mm.
Right? You will go some of the greatest things. Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't like roller coasters, but me neither. Forget it. You will not get me on one of these earthly roller coasters, right? But I mean a heavenly roller coaster. You don't throw up on them. You get so excited. You know, you hit the highs and you go like, yes! You know? That's the roller coaster that's more. I know, I'm with you, dear. I'm with you, love. You know, forget it. We don't go there. You know, no way. I'd be joining you. There you go. Hallelujah.
Get wet,
love. Yeah. So he's got Stephen, and he says he's full of the Holy Ghost and he's filled with power. And in verse 8 it says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of freedmen, as they called it, and it goes on, they started to dispute with Stephen. They started to argue with him about who this Jesus was, etc. But you know, Stephen, through the power of the Holy Spirit, suddenly had so much wisdom. By the Spirit, he says, these people couldn't hold an argument against him. He was just knocking them down with the word that was in him from God. Right?
Yeah.
And so they sort of planned to set him up and deal with him in the end and to try and destroy him. And you know, they brought him before the council and, you know, accused him of blasphemy and all sorts of things. And it says, and as they gazed on him, verse 15, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the face of, in other words, they were looking at him and they were seeing something of heaven. They were seeing something of the power of God. Mm-hmm. Because the Jewish people believed that angels were extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They were messengers that carried the power and the anointing of God. And that they'd known stories of angels in the Old Testament that these angels just destroyed. These angels would just destroy an army in front of them, you see. So they knew, looking at him, they were like, wow.
Mm.
They were seeing something of heaven in him.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you know, when we are so anointed, when people suddenly look at it and say, there's something about you.
Mm.
What is it? They begin to see the power of heaven in our lives.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's where we need to be going. That's where we need to be moving. So if we move into Acts chapter 7, Stephen is there and begins to speak, begins to tell them the gospel story right from Abraham right through, and he begins to preach to them from the Old Testament, and he's so charged up with the power of God, and he's retelling them all about the things that God did for the Hebrew people in the past and how God had brought them through challenges, through difficulties, and when they stayed close to God, God cared for them. Even in the desert, he looked after them. He delivered them from Egypt, from the hand of Pharaoh. He delivered them out of bondage and set them free. You know, and he goes on and tells the stories, and he's just going through it all and just speaking about how they were delivered from the Midianites in Gideon's time. And so he's just preaching the gospel. And he just goes on and on and on. And he's just sharing. And there's so much in that that we haven't got time to speak it all. But I want to move to right to the end. Let's look at 51 first of all. Because this is his statement that really presses their button. Verse 51 in chapter 7. And Stephen says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in your heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Wow. I mean, what a statement. I mean, that is really slapping them straight in the face and saying, this is what you're like. You know, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And you know, even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there. Not in the same way that he is today. But he was always there. He was in the prophets. He was in the king. Right? And he was in the high priest. And so they're saying, he's saying, you always resisted the prophets. You stoned the prophets. You killed the prophets. Etc. And you resisted God. And so he's really sort of nailing them to the floor with this one. Yeah. He says, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now betrayed and murdered, referring to Jesus. You who received the law as delivered by angels did not keep it. So in other words, they were totally rebellious. They weren't following God. They were making up laws and circum things for themselves that just made sure they kept their jobs. Well, it says here, we move to verse 54. This is the hard bit now for Stephen. It says, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. Can you imagine? Let me get my arms on him. I'll break his neck, you know. I'll kill him if I could get hold of him. They were so annoyed by what he'd said. He'd gone right to the root.
Bullseye.
Hit the bullseye of the problem in their lives. And they didn't like it. And then it says in verse 55, and I love this. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Now then, think of this one. He didn't look up and just gaze into the sky. Because we can all look up today and we can gaze into the sky, can't we? Tonight as we were coming over and it was light, I could see the moon. I gazed at the moon, but I didn't see heaven. Right? Here it says, but him, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God.
Amen.
Disciples of the Lord Jesus, we need to see the glory of God.
Amen.
And he says he saw the glory of God and he saw Jesus. Oh, what a sight.
So,
standing at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
And he said, now this really cut them to the core. He said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
But they cried out with loud voices and stopped their ears and rushed at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, Stephen called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Let me tell you something. They thought they'd killed him by stoning him. His spirit left his body before they even killed him. He was gone before they stoned him to death. They were only throwing stones at a carcass. They were throwing stones at a piece of flesh, but the spirit had already gone, and he never felt anything. I find that somewhat amazing, but I'm telling you, that's what I believe. God, what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us, when you trust me, when you're on fire for me, I'm going to take you places where you're going to stand in front of people and declare the word of God.
Yeah.
And they might be enraged at you. They might even try to stone you.
True.
But they cannot do what God will not allow them to do.
Yeah.
Stephen's time was over. He'd been a great worker. He was powerful in the gospel. And he'd seen Jesus even as he stood on the earth. I pray that for you guys here and for the church, that we see Jesus whilst we're on the earth. Because I tell you, when we see Jesus, you will get so fired up.
Yeah.
It would be like fitting two turbos to a diesel engine.
And
I remember once being slain in the spirit in a big youth meet, in a youth meeting we were having, and I was out for 4 hours. And I spent my time with Jesus. I went in, I actually walked into, in the end, into the, I went through a dark tunnel and I could see the light at the end. I went through this tunnel and came out into a valley. And the grass was green and it was full of flowers in the meadow. There was a stream down in the bottom. There was a tree down there. And right underneath the tree was a spread of food. There was a picnic. And Jesus was sat there waiting for me. And I went and I spent time in the presence of Jesus. And I will tell you, I've seen Jesus. And it changed me again. And I'm telling you, I want to see Jesus again. And I want you to see Jesus. And I'm not making this up. Grace had to have me taken to bed, and she undressed me and put me in bed. Because I was gone. So when I read this of Stephen, and he says he looks into heaven and he sees Jesus stood at the right hand side of God. Wow. And I just think, I know what you mean. I've seen something of that. And I tell you, folk, let it be a passion. Don't take the second best. Don't be ruled by the law. Be ruled by the love of God. Be ruled by the word of God, the passion of God that sets captives free. Do what he tells you to do, and do it with all of your might. And I'll tell you, you might enrage a few people, but what you will do is you'll have Jesus standing up, cheering,
amen,
and saying, "Come on, come on, brother, come on, brother, come on, brother." Jesus standing up and cheering us on. And when they try and do the worst to us, Jesus said, "Just come on." Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain."
Win-win.
It's a win-win. When you live for Jesus, you've got the best. And if you die for Jesus, you've got even better.
Yeah,
can't lose. Can't lose.
Yeah.
And Stephen is the one, you know, Stephen is that story. And I'd encourage you to just sit there and read that again, and hopefully in what I've said tonight, I've sort of drawn back the curtains and opened the expanses of it and to say, see it as it really is. It's not a story of, oh my God, he died, they killed him. What awful people. It's like, wow, what a powerful anointing this man had, and that he could see Jesus. And it says, you know, he saw people being set free, healed. Mighty works were done by this young man. So, come on.
Do you know what also impresses me about it? When he said, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
And that's the devil will hold us back every time by our attitude. We refuse to forgive. We deny ourselves so much. It's us that we're persecuting.
Yeah.
We need to let go and enter into some of the fantastic things God's got for us, like he did for Stephen.
Yeah. Don't let unforgiveness make you a prisoner.
No.
Because that's what it does.
Yes.
Unforgiveness builds a prison around you.
Yes.
Forgiveness says, I've got the key for you to get out.
Freedom.
It's the key of freedom, forgiveness. And you're out. It's like, no prison door can hold you while you have the key of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they lock the gate on you, say, it's okay, I've got the key. In forgiveness, and I'm out again. Can't keep me locked up because I've got that ability and that freedom of to be able to forgive.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us as we forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us." Wow. But Lord, you know what they said to me. Lord, you know what they did to me. He does. And he said they did worse to my son.
Well, Jesus said it to
them. Father, forgive him. And he said it, Father, forgive him. So Stephen is just being obedient. You know, there's that, you remember that caption? What would Jesus do? Well, Stephen started doing, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? He said, he's going to forgive them.
Yeah.
And he forgives them. And he unlocks him from the prison of this world, and he enters into the fullness of God.
Amen.
Well, you know, so often people think, oh, when you die, that's it. No, it ain't. No, it ain't.
Yeah.
Still moving on.
Amen.
Still moving on. Things to do. Amen. So be encouraged and blessed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And just praise God. I trust you've been encouraged tonight. Be a Stephen for Jesus. Amen. I enjoyed that. I loved reading.
Just thank you.
So.
Spiritual Stephen.